Heart of the Matter, where we slice up today's divisive political issues into bite-sized portions. Heart of the Matter is hosted by the Americhicks, Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and is now enjoying a successful career as an entrepreneur.
There isn't any room at the top for local girls like us.
Now, let's get to the heart of the matter on ATX.
Hey, welcome to Heart of the Matter with the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. I'm Kim.
And I'm Molly.
I know it. Wow. So,
wow.
Time. It's a beautiful. It's a beautiful afternoon, and this is our final show before Election Day. So we're going to do lightning round on all kinds of things. This first hour, we're going to talk about a lot of the national things, and man, there's a lot going on. I mean,
sure is.
Your hair is on fire.
My hair's on fire.
Yeah.
May as well be red.
Yeah. Oh. Worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are the Americhicks. You can find us on Facebook at Americhicks, Gmail, as well as our website. You know, if you have any questions, you can certainly, you know, message us. And we'd love to hear from you. You know, Molly, lots of times, I mean, we hear from a lot of people when we're out and about, and they say, I love what you're doing. And we appreciate that. But I don't call in because you guys are asking the questions that I'm asking, and it's really good information. So we're honored to do that, but we also love to hear from you. So feel free to give us a call at 303-477-5600.
Right. And there's so much coming out in the news right now that that's what you're saying is my head is spinning. And I'm looking at so many different websites and articles and Facebook posts and trying to figure out what's true and what's not true. And so, gosh, call us, because we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. And we want to know, you know, you, the community, do you know, I mean, you guys know, I'm sure too, what's going on. Let's have an honest conversation about this stuff, because it's almost like the whole government is so corrupt. I can't even believe what I'm learning. And it's almost too bad to be true. So hopefully it is too bad to be true. But
unfortunately, I think it may be true.
Yeah. So let us know what you know.
Yeah.
And what questions we should be asking you, and who we should be talking to, if you know anyone might know the truth in these particular areas.
Yeah. And second hour, we're going to talk more about Colorado candidates. And then we've gotten a lot of great response regarding our ballot analysis that we did, and also regarding the judges. And, you know, as we've said, you agree or disagree, we hope that this is a good resource for you as you cast your ballot. So that is on our website, Americhicks.com. And we have Casper Stockham in studio with us, and he's going to weigh in on different things. He's an entrepreneur, and he's just really an inspirational guy. And he has put himself out on the line. He is running for CD1 against Diana DeGette. And Casper, welcome. It's just great
it's
to have
to
you
here.
Yeah, great to have you here. And thank you to you and your family. I mean, this has just been really, really a labor of love for our country. And thank you. And so we're excited to talk with you, and we'll be talking with some other people that are running for office, as well as going through all the ballot initiatives and the judges. So it's a really important show, and excited to be here. But first thing I would like to say is congratulations to Chicago for winning the World Series.
The Cubs. Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. I used to be a real sports hound before I got so concerned about our country. And because being a sports hound takes a lot of time, you guys.
Yeah. It does, but it keeps your mind off the craziness, too. I think we should all kind of add a little bit more of that sports stuff back in there and just keep sane.
Yeah, well, I didn't make it to a Rockies game this year. And I love afternoon at the Rockies, just, you know, sitting there with your friends talking and watching baseball. I love baseball. But I had the game on last night. I mean, who wouldn't? It's the seventh game of the World Series, yeah. And Chicago hasn't won since 1908, and I think, what was it, like 1948 or something for Cleveland. So, I mean, it was great.
This is the year of the underdog. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Hey, hopefully that plays out.
I like
all
it.
Kinds
I like it, Casper. Yeah. That gives me, that's exciting. The other thing, back when I was a sports hound, I remembered all of these players. And so the guy that stepped up to the plate, you know, the first batter, hit a home run, it's a former Rocky.
Oh, wow.
Dexter Fowler. I remember.
That's nice.
Yeah. So
yeah, we weren't there for them.
No. Yeah, you guys actually weren't born yet, but that's okay.
You know what's cool is I'm looking at some stats that said that, you know, the last time the Cubs won the World Series, it was 1908. And at that time, the American flag had 45 stars.
Oh,
average
wow.
Worker earned $200 to $400 a year. Average wage was 22 cents an hour. Only 14% of the homes had a bathtub. Only 8% of the homes had a telephone. And 8,000 cars and 144 miles of paved roads.
Wow.
1908. Look how far we've come.
Wow.
Thank goodness for the bathtubs.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking too, Molly.
Yeah. Come a long way, baby. Yeah. Keep it up. America. Freedom.
I'm just really so excited for the Cubs, though. That was so neat. And I like Cleveland, too. I mean, I would have been happy with either one of them, but it was pretty exciting. But the year of the underdog.
And the surprises, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of surprises.
So, first thoughts, Casper, is there anything you want to jump in on, or we can go to that a little bit later, but we're going to talk about Trump and Hillary and all that.
In the national election, there's some interesting things happening around the country, so we can get into that.
Okay. So, Molly, why don't we start with that?
Okay. Well, on the one hand, I'm saddened and I'm frightened at the avalanche of information that's coming forward about our government and about the corruption. And, you know, all this time, you know, we hear little things. We think, well, you know what? We elect the smartest people that have the best interest in mind, and they're going to go to Washington, and they're going to take care of us. They're going to protect us. And if anybody, you know, starts to cheat or lie or steal, they're going to make sure are put in place. That's why we're hiring people like Casper.
Right. Yeah.
And the need for somebody like Casper to come up and say, guy, he's an entrepreneur. He's a father. He's a husband. He does all these different things, and finally said, you know what? No, they're not representing me, and I've got to get out there and do it myself. And so I'm so happy that he's doing that. I felt over the past year, as I find out more and more corruption in our government's coming forward, and especially as we start to look at Hillary Clinton, and, you know, FBI Director Comey was investigating her, and even though he said she broke the law, it was so careless with classified information, they would be punished, and they certainly would not be, you know, promoted.
I can vouch for that because I served in the military and I handled classified information. I know for a fact that if I handled one piece, not thousands of pieces, one piece, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd still be in jail.
Right. And the reason for that is because you guys in the military risk your lives. I mean, you risk so much to get that information for us, to save all of us. I mean, think about when classified information gets out there, that means that our military is at risk. That means that our country, everybody is at risk. That means that the people that are helping and supporting us overseas, I mean, we have people in the Middle East, we have people in Russia, we have people in China that work with our military to tell us information we need to know and secrets we need to know. And we put them at risk when classified information gets out there.
You sure do. Absolutely.
Why would they continue to help America if we will not protect that classified information?
It's sad. I mean, it's beyond even comprehension. I mean, it makes you wonder why we keep sending these people back to Washington year after year after year. You know, I think term limits should really be a part of the discussion going forward. Because even though they may have good intentions in the beginning, over time, you know, I'm told there's a lot of ways for them to persuade you into doing things that you're not supposed to be doing. I don't believe I'm corruptible. You know, I hope that I'm not corruptible. You know, I'm going to be praying every day, you know, that I don't become influenced by the power there. You know, I know it's funny because after you win the election, they tell you to go, you have to go to orientation. So I asked Ken Buck, I said, so how do I even get there? He said, oh, don't worry about that. They got you covered. They're going to fly you and someone from your campaign there, pay for everything, put you up in a hotel. You know, it starts immediately, immediately, the wooing into that fold. So, you know, you have to be a strong individual to not succumb to that.
Well, you know, you have to answer to the AmeriChicks. So, you know, we're going to make sure.
I know that's right.
Oh, yeah, we got you on speed dial, dude.
You know, the other thing, Casper, and I thought a lot about this on term limits, and really that was how our country was founded, is the citizen legislator. You go, you serve. I think everybody should serve. But to have that strong foundation, you know, of what our country's about. But the other hidden thing there, and when you go to Washington, and this is going to be really tough, it's the bureaucrats. Yeah. I think they also need term limits.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And then and the lobbyists, you know, but if you have term limits, it's harder to pin the tail on the donkey if they're moving in and out so fast.
Yeah, but the bureaucrats, you know, they're there forever and ever. And when I was on city council, it was interesting. I was at an orientation, and they said that, you know, many of the bureaucrats know that you know, they're still going to be there when you're not.
Right.
And so that is the other real hidden thing that when you get to Washington, we need to support you to so work
how do
on
you,
that.
Yeah, how do you address that? You know, because those are folks that are in those jobs and, you know, you move into your congressional seat or your Senate seat and you need help.
You need help.
You need a support system. So they have these nice, wonderful pool of people who have been there forever. And they say, oh, here's someone can work on your staff mm-hmm. in D.C. And they're part of the problem as well. So, that, you know, how do you get around that?
Right. I think that, as you said, this is the year of the underdog. And I think that the American people are excited for a change. And so I don't quite know the answer to that, but I know that we're starting on something really important.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and just to quote my friend Caspar Stockham, throw the bums out.
Throw the bums out.
Start over.
Get them out.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. You say it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And so, okay, so we've got, so at the beginning was the frustration. We're going to get to the happy part, though, soon, okay? so Comey comes in and says, even though we know that she has really put our country at danger by showing these classified emails, not protecting them, putting on a private server, and even though we know that President Clinton, former President Clinton, sat down with the Attorney General on the plane and had a private meeting with her, and then absolutely nobody now wants to indict Hillary Clinton. And so we think, okay, what's going on? Then is everybody so corrupt? Is there no way in the world that anybody in government can be held accountable? Is everybody in the government above the law? That's what I was thinking. And I'm thinking, forget it. You know, it's just an uphill battle. And I just don't know that we can do anything. And then we start to get these, you know, Project Veritas telling us that there's proof that the DNC and Hillary Clinton were working together for voter fraud, that they are working together in inciting violence against protesters, against innocent Americans. And then you see the chaos in the streets and you hear that, like, George Soros himself, you know, old billionaire white guy starts Black Lives Matter. And so, and that they're flying people into different states to incite violence and burn down communities they don't belong to. And it just seems like this is never, ever, ever going to stop. And I'm so frustrated. And then we start to get this information from WikiLeaks. And in Hillary Clinton saying, well, it's the Russians and they're hacking my server. And so we should be mad at the Russians. Well, you know what? In the first place, even if it was the Russians, they shouldn't have been able to hack your server. Right. You probably shouldn't have had it on a private right. server and they wouldn't have hacked your server. OK,
right. Right.
So, yeah, you can't just say, well, the Russians did it. So don't look at my stuff. You screwed up anyway. OK,
and she shouldn't have been doing that.
And she shouldn't have done that anyway. Right. But now we find out it actually wasn't the Russians. It was insider government people and from these different government agencies that are actually coming out and saying, we can't do it anymore. We cannot stand us. We can't just stand here and watch this corruption and do absolutely nothing about it. So apparently, and I don't know if this is 100% true or not, but I've been looking at all these different sites and it looks like there are people coming out from within the government that are sharing this information with
these
WikiLeaks.
Are the silent heroes that are stepping up. And you know, it's almost like like a military, internal military force that's working to kind of push this stuff up to the surface so we can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So, you know, there are some things that I'm posting on my personal Facebook, and if they end up not to be true sources, then forgive me. But everything that I see, I'm trying to get out there and just say, who does anyone know about it? Yeah. So the top ones I think are important for us to pay attention to. And these have actually been talked about by Brett Baer on Fox News. And so one, he says that his sources inside the FBI say the indictment is very likely against Hillary Clinton in pay to play, which means that she sold access to foreign governments and to foreign investors to the U.S. government and our secrets.
Yeah. Yeah. Indictment before or after the election?
Well, that's what we're going to ask John Andrews. About, because I mean, this is kind of new ground,
right?
To really have something,
and
like
you know, and what happens with a pardon? So, if President Obama pardons her, is that before or after the election? So, can she still run for president even if we know that this is true?
She could run from jail and stuff.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so the one thing is, that's one that she accepted money. She is bribable. She will sell the American people out on purpose. The other thing is that the FBI said that they have 99% certainty that Clinton's server was hacked by at least 5 foreign intelligence agencies and information was taken from it.
And 3 eighth graders, too.
Yeah, well, more than that.
And the 300 pounds.
Yeah, so the foreign governments that didn't know they could hack it actually paid, you know, sorry for them. They had to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to get secrets. But the other foreign governments government said, oh, we could just hack our system and get that information. Either way, our confidential information is out all over the place. And what I'm worried about is our safety, is our security, is, you know, what does this mean to the mom and pop and the kid? I mean, can they feel safe tomorrow letting their kids get on a school bus and go to school? I mean, what secrets are out there?
Well, and Molly, to that point, as you know, on our website, we are able to use PayPal or Braintree to, you know, take contributions. And we've gotten an email that in order for us to do that, we have to be what's called PCI compliant. Now, compliant normally means that there's a rule or regulation that has been put forth, not by our elected officials, but by some agency, that we have to be PCI compliant. And the premise of this supposedly is to make sure that all credit card data is secure. Safe, secure. You know, that's a good thing, definitely. So, but I had to go through the whole questionnaire with the guy from Braintree, and it gets to the question. One of the questions was, have you made sure that your server is secure and, you know, cannot be hacked and compromise that information? So I said to the guy, I said, did you have Hillary Clinton answer these questions? And the young guy, he laughed for a minute on that one. You know, so it's like, here we are putting all this compliance and everything over
on
here
us.
On businesses, and she's above the law. Which goes to what we've talked about a lot is the haves and the have-nots, the elite and the peasants. You know, this is regressing back to, you know, how things didn't work out so well for the regular everyday person because she thinks she is above the law.
And
we're going
to jail.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I don't think she is above the law. I think it's going to be interesting.
I think it's going to be interesting too. And I'm just so proud of, you know, they're saying mutiny inside the FBI. I'm very proud. I'm so proud of them. Thank you for standing up and putting your careers on the line for us. All right. So another one, obstruction of justice. So now that the New York Police Department and the FBI have gone in to Huma Abedin's husband's house, Anthony Weiner, because he is a
he's going to get the Weiner Award again.
He gets a gold star. Yeah. Weiner Award of the Year. So they found his personal laptop, which has a lot of Huma's emails on there as well. And Huma has worked as an aide to Hillary Clinton for 21 years. So she has information. She has emails that they didn't find in the first round when they went through Clinton's emails.
That's a little concerning.
So when she handed out, you know, 30,000 emails, they said they didn't have of her. So these emails are not duplicates. They definitely did not see these before. So when Hillary Clinton smashed her BlackBerry and she smashed her computer and smashed all this stuff and lied under oath that she gave everything to them, now we actually have proof that she lied.
Yeah.
So as crazy it is that we had to figure this out through her aides' estranged husband's laptop, at least we have it. So I'm glad that we have it.
And there's two people that need to, there's two people, Anthony Weiner and Huma, both of those individuals need protection now. I mean, if they need immunity to testify, otherwise, you know, they could wind up gone.
It could be.
So President Obama is having to work on getting all of them off. I mean, who does he help first?
Yeah,
because
they
found in those emails that he was sending emails back and forth as well.
Exactly.
Under a different name.
Oh my Lord.
So they're all incriminated. They're all incriminated.
Carlos Danger and what's the brand?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I forgot about
so
that
as
one.
As Casper Stockham says, throw the bombs out.
Yeah. So, hey, we are, we're having a great conversation this afternoon. Casper Stockham, a candidate for CD1, is in studio with us. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with John Andrews, former president of the state Senate. He's, you know, just very knowledgeable on politics and what's going on. And so when we come back, we're going to have a conversation with that. So it's Molly and Kim, the AmeriChicks, Heart of the Matter. We'll be right back.
Due to this extraordinary fall weather, the 88 Drive-In is still open every night of the week. This week, the 88 Drive-In is giving you one last taste of Halloween, showing Goosebumps, followed by The Accountant, and finally, Lights Out. If you haven't had a chance to visit the 88 Drive-In at all this season, now is the time. Quick, before the weather changes. Remember, one ticket includes all three features. So come for one, two, or all three movies. Cash payments do speed up the lines, so pay with cash if at all possible. Grab some hot chocolate from the snack bar, and as always, say hello from Molly and Kim. The 88 Drive-In, a true taste of American history, now celebrating its 40th season.
Water's Edge Winery is a craft winery located in the heart of Centennial, and they brought Swanky to the suburbs. Currently making more than 30 international varietals at this location, you can watch the winemaker at work and learn all about wine. Pick up some of their top-of-the-line meats and cheeses from Boar's Head for an intimate picnic at your table, or pair your favorite chocolates from the Chocolate Therapist with some of their amazing wine. Bring your girlfriends, bring your book club, celebrate your anniversary, or throw a birthday party in their tasting room. They will make it simple, and you won't have to clean up afterwards. Personalized labels, bottling parties, wine tastings, and even wine ice cream. Water's Edge Winery is located on the northwest corner of Arapahoe University, across from the streets of South Glen at 2101 East Arapahoe Road in Centennial. Call them and book your next night out or drop in for a bottle for dinner. 720-381-6663.
Thanks to Harmony Ridge Construction, your home doesn't have to be in shambles for the holidays. The experts at Harmony Ridge Construction add the same personal touches you would, but without the time or stress involved in tackling your own renovations. Call Harmony Ridge Construction at 720-660-0265. The owners of Harmony Ridge Construction have over 45 combined years of experience building and renovating homes around the globe. Whether you're building a new custom home or remodeling your kitchen, basement, or bathroom, Harmony Ridge Construction will take your project to the next level. With Harmony Ridge Construction, you can have the home you want without the process you dread. Call Harmony Ridge Construction today at 720-660-0265.
Chicago, Chicago, ooh, that toddling town.
Congratulations, Cubbies. Chicago, woohoo! Chicago, I bet that would be a really fun town to be in today.
I bet it would be.
Hot dogs everywhere.
And it didn't burn down last night. So
no,
that's a good thing.
No, that's good. So see, we don't all burn things down every time we win. Welcome back to The Heart of Matter with the Americhicks. Hey, you know, during that commercial break, you heard a little ad there for Water's Edge Winery. Our good friend Jennifer owns that winery. It's an awesome, amazing place. They actually do have food and snacks as well, though, too, because Kim did that commercial and she said, go on in there for a bottle of wine for dinner, but you can have food, too. If you're driving, don't say, and you get pulled over by the police. You did. If you heard from the Americhicks, it was actually Kim Munson that said, have a bottle of wine for dinner.
No, I meant to pick up a bottle of wine for dinner. So, Marie, we're going to have to redo that this week, okay? Thanks for catching that, Molly.
Yeah. But another thing really quick, too, because it is the holiday seasons, and I know so many people are, you know, they've been, like, renovating houses, and then you get busy, and you're doing all this stuff here and there and here and there, and you, your house is kind of half torn apart, and your kitchen's half torn apart, and you've got family that's coming over for Thanksgiving or Christmas. You know what? Just call Harmony Ridge Construction. They can fix it for you.
Yeah. And there was one other little thing that you said. You had a little story about your phone yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Oh, well, I got to think of the guy's name.
Okay.
But so I've got the Samsung, and apparently the Samsung that I have isn't the right one that everybody else has. So it's the S6.
The 6? Okay.
6S active. And I had the little protector cover on the top, and it got cracked. And then my charger wasn't really keeping, and it was kind of messing up when I was typing, and my texts weren't coming through. And I called Samsung, and they said, well, you owe, like, you know, so much money on that phone. You're just going to have to keep it or buy a whole new one or whatever. So I go to the little fix-it shop yesterday, and the guy's looking at it, and he's like, you know that your thing isn't cracked. It's actually your protector that's cracked. And he ripped things off. Oh, okay, cool. And then I'm like, well, can you just check the charger port? I don't think that's working. And he sticks in there. He's like, no, it's totally fine. I think it's your charger that just wasn't working. I'm like, oh. And he's like, I feel so sorry for you. I'm just going to give you this free charger. And so I wanted to give him a little shout out.
Yeah, can do that in a minute.
It's like, so, I break it. But yeah. We'll give him a shout out in a minute. But yeah, I'm kind of a dork when it comes to technology.
Well, it happens. We've got a lot going on. But let's just jump in right now. We have John Andrews on the line with us, and we're excited to talk with him. Hey, John, how you doing?
There is so much chit chat going on. I'm not sure there's room for a guy.
Hey, there's a guy here.
Am I on the radio edition of The View?
Now, Casper Stockham is in studio with us, and John, you're on the line with us, and so you guys are now officially Ameridudes.
Ameridudes, there you go. I like it.
We are. I'll tell you what, Casper Stockham belongs in the driver's seat of Congressional District 1. We want to take him one step beyond Uber to the U.S. Congress. Hello there, Casper. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, John. Good to hear you, too.
Yeah.
Married dude.
So, hey, John, I'm gonna set this up. There's something that just came across the wire. It says Hillary Clinton's niece, Maisie Smith, recently announced that she intends to vote for Donald Trump. The 25-year-old Tampa hairdresser is the daughter of Roger Clinton, Bill Clinton's half-brother. And she said, something tells me the Clinton side of the family looks at me and my mother as not good enough, but we're hardworking and I support Donald Trump 100%. So why is Maisie right?
I'll tell you what, in politics, war, sports, investing, you got to always go to fundamentals. The Chicago Cubs won their first title in over a century on fundamentals, pitching, hitting, fielding, and determination by a whisker over the Indians last night. The political fundamentals, and we... The three of us, Molly, John, and Kim, heard a fascinating review of it from former Speaker Newt Gingrich. Maybe you've talked a little bit about that already on the show, friends. But yesterday, the fundamentals of election 2016, whether somebody feels like the neglected, can't get no respect, niece of Hillary and Bill, or whether it's just some friend of ours listening to KLZ this afternoon across Colorado. The fundamentals say, do you want more of the same? Do you want a flat economy? Do you want America losing respect in the world? Do you want civil order fraying, race relations inflamed, the sense that we're not safe in our own neighborhoods either from crime or terrorism? Do you want jobs migrating overseas? Do you want an undefended southern border? If you want that, then by golly, I guess Hillary is your candidate because she'll give you more of the same after 8 years of her husband and 8 years of Barack Obama. If you want change, the fundamentals say this is a change election. 75% of the American people in the last 12 consecutive opinion polls nationally have said America's on the wrong track. Well, here's a chance to get America back on the right track. You don't have two candidates, two perfect candidates to choose from. In fact, you have two historically unpopular candidates by their favorables. But the fact remains, if you want change, Donald Trump is the candidate you're going to be backing. And that's the conclusion that I reached. He wasn't just my 17th choice in the primaries, Molly. He was my 100th choice. But Hillary all along has been my 1,000th choice. That's my way of calculating.
Well, John, speaking of Hillary... I mean, it's just almost unbelievable, this barrage of information that's coming out. Initially, I thought this just can't be real, but it is real. So what's your comments about all this stuff going on with Hillary?
Well, the dam broke last Friday. And when does a dam break? It's when pounding floodwaters above the dam become too much for the structure. And the analogy is that inside the FBI... agents of integrity who love their country more than they're protecting their professional backside, who are willing to take some risk. Agents put so much pressure on James Comey, the director, that he reopened his sloppy, really put-up job of a supposedly clean investigation, clean bill of health legally that he gave Hillary Clinton back on the 5th of July. And so that plus the leaks from WikiLeaks, which the Clinton people are desperate to discredit simply because it was stolen. Well, what is a leak? A leak is
it's always stolen.
That you didn't want out there. But thank God it is out there because American people now know that the Clinton family essentially are a crime family. They've got this mashup of the foundation supposedly doing philanthropy and enjoying all kinds of tax advantages and lofty prestige in America and around the world, plus Bill and Hillary Clinton's personal enrichment, plus putting the State Department and access to the U.S. Secretary of State and favors that can be done by the U.S. Secretary of State up for sale. So what can you call it except a racketeering, a criminal kind of an enterprise? This is pouring out through the breaks in the dam, and then the fact that Hillary's email server, which probably was accessed by four or five hostile foreign powers around the world, is now back under active investigation by the FBI as well. I made the analogy between sports and politics, and I don't want to trivialize it because this is a lot more important than a sports contest, but the analogy is Hillary is desperate now to run out the clock. And to continue the analogy, she has the help of some friendly referees who are not shooting it straight down the middle in most of the media, unlike a truth-telling outlet such as KLZ Radio and Crawford Broadcasting and your show. But most of the media are happy to help her run the clock out. I don't even think that the active FBI investigation of the Clinton Foundation, which we're told could lead to indictments, is being covered very much in the mainstream media. So the question is, will enough people get the word? Have already so many ballots been cast to tip the race into the key states for Hillary? I hope enough people get the word by Tuesday to realize you cannot elect this disqualified member of a crime family to be the president of the United States. Donald Trump is no prize, but he is infinitely, infinitely preferable.
Yeah. Well, John Andrews, and I appreciate you saying that, especially about getting back to the fundamentals. You know, I agree with you. Donald Trump wasn't my first choice. I was thinking that we were at the stage where I just wanted to vote for somebody that understood the Constitution and would work really, really hard to make sure that our government got back to paying attention to it and operating within the confines of it. But I was shooting too far because I did not realize how off the rails we really are and how incestuous our government groups were and how much corruption there were and how much they were hiding. And really what we have to do now is we've just got to get somebody in place that will indict, that will throw the bums out, as Casper says, and people that will make sure that the rule of law actually applies to all Americans, even the politicians that we hired to serve us, and then also to protect our national security. Because as we're finding out, you know, not only has Hillary Clinton's emails been hacked by five foreign countries, but she's also been, you know, offering our secrets for sale. She's been basically selling the government to foreign governments and investors for money for her own foundation. And that's really, really sad. So I hope that she does get indicted. I'm wondering, since you know a little bit more about kind of the process of that kind of thing, can you tell us, could she be indicted? And if this happens, could it be possible, even if she is elected president of the United States, is there any way to stop her from taking that office? Can Obama pardon her before she takes office if that were to take place, unfortunately?
Molly, I'm not a lawyer. I got some hard-won battle scars as a young White House staffer, part of the Richard Nixon speechwriting staff in the early 70s, and I ended up seeing way too much of the Watergate scandal and criminal cover-up at close hand, and made the only public protest resignation off of Nixon's staff because I didn't want to be associated with that
anymore. Wow.
But as far as how this might play out for Hillary Clinton, my concern is this. Obama signaled yesterday that after an initial apparently affirming statement by his press secretary, Josh Earnest, of what FBI Director James Comey has done to reopen the Clinton server investigation, Obama signaled yesterday that this is innuendo and unsubstantiated rumors or outright lies. He's sending the signal that as long as he is president, maybe they can sniff around the wrongdoing of Hillary and Bill and Hillary's staff, the Huma Abedin, the Anthony Weiner, the Cheryl Mills, these others. But the message I'm getting from Barack Obama, reading between the lines of his statement yesterday, is as long as he's president between now and the 20th of January, they are not going to do more than sniff around Hillary's wrongdoing. An indictment requires a grand jury, which is authorized by the U.S. Department of Justice. The FBI has no power to authorize a grand jury. The president doesn't have power to fire Comey, but he has power to frustrate, ultimately, whatever Comey might recommend. We already know his attorney general, Loretta Lynch, Obama's attorney general, is in the bag for the Clintons. She had that shocking, improper meeting in Phoenix at the airport.
Right. Oh, they only talked about golf and grandkids.
For 30 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Thanks for clearing that up, Jim. I feel much better now. But all told, friends, I'm kind of concerned that if Hillary wins this election on Tuesday, November 8th, with the popular vote and or electoral college vote tipping either narrowly or substantially in her favor, that it's game over for her ever really being held to account. Now, let's imagine a situation where Republicans hang on to not just the U.S. House, which is generally conceded they will do, but also the U.S. Senate in the event of a Hillary Clinton victory, because Hillary's victory is going to be much less decisive since Director Comey's shocking announcement 7 days ago. At that point, you have endless investigations mounted by Congress against Hillary Clinton as president. Does it start to look like Nixon under constant pressure for his Watergate misdeeds from a Democratic Congress? No, it doesn't. And why? Because, as we said a moment ago, the mainstream media is not an accomplice of a Congress trying to throw out a president, as it was with the Democrats trying to throw out Nixon after his historic landslide reelection. He was reelected in 72. Much pressure was placed on him in 73, and he was gone in 74. This time around, you wouldn't have the media helping Congress, albeit Republican-controlled in both houses, helping Congress put the pressure on a President Hillary Clinton. So, to me, much, much depends on the American people waking up and realizing that, as I like to say, is there something distasteful about Donald Trump? Yeah, probably. Is Donald Trump dismaying? Yeah, probably, to a lot of us. But with Hillary, it's not just distasteful. It's not just dismaying. It's disqualified. Disqualified from holding the commander-in-chief, the chief executive powers of the United States under the Constitution. We just really need people to wake up and see that, because I think it's a pipe dream to believe she could be indicted or forced aside or impeached or in some way yield power to Vice President Tim Kaine, her running mate. All the marbles are next Tuesday, the 8th of November.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, this is Casper. You know, I don't see enough intestinal fortitude with the current group of Republicans that are in D.C. to do anything to Hillary Clinton or anybody else for that matter. You know, I think it's going to take more people like Ted Cruz's and Mike Lee's and Casper Stockham's and Daryl Glenn's in there to really make a difference. You know, the current batch doesn't seem
you are absolutely right. Paul Ryan has been somebody that I have admired. I know Paul Ryan slightly. I've watched his meteoric rise. But just look at the on-off-again hesitation and in some ways political cowardice with which he has treated the rising tide of Donald Trump during the year of 2016.
Yeah.
And so whether it's McConnell in the Senate or Ryan in the House, a new leadership and tough-minded backbenchers demanding more of their elected leaders in both the Republican House and Republican Senate would be needed under my hypothetical of a Hillary president and us still in control as Republicans in the Congress.
Okay.
I hope we get you there. I hope we get Daryl Glenn there. I love it, Casper, that there's polling that puts Glenn within the margin of error to overtake Democrat Senator Michael Bennet. And I don't know about polling on yourself versus the
60-40 in my favor.
Beyond her welcome, Diana, to get. But I know that if today's polling for Glenn and with Trump tied, dead tied, 39-39 to Hillary in Colorado, if that rolls to a Trump victory, we may have a remarkable surprise and a wonderful upset for you to be in Congress and send home Diana.
Well, John, it's the year of the underdogs, so let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got some other questions that we'd like to throw at you and see what you have to think about that.
Fun to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Success, excellence, prosperity. Predavision Company will help you succeed, excel, and prosper. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim, use Predavision Company for their accounting needs. Predavich & Company is one of the premier accounting firms in the Denver metro area. The trusted team at Predavich & Company assists individuals, businesses, and nonprofits with all accounting, bookkeeping, and tax preparation needs. Year-end will be here before we know it. Therefore, now is the time to make sure that you are prepared. Give Predavich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredavich.com. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
A place to call home. Karen Levine knows your home is one of the most important investments that you'll make. It's the place where memories are created. When you think of buying or selling your home, you need to work with award-winning Karen Levine. With 25 years in the real estate business, Karen Levine is a real pro who can help you navigate this crazy real estate market. She cares about you. She is honest and represents your best interests. If you are considering buying or selling your home, give Karen Levine a call at 303-877-7516 or email her at karenlevine@remax.net. And be sure to tell her the AmeriChick sent you.
Hey, this is Molly with the AmeriChicks. I'm excited to tell you one of the coolest cats I know and long-term buddies of mine, Mark Whistler and Seth Murdy, who has 21 years experience as a chef and GM, are just opening a new restaurant bar in Denver. Check out The Goods Restaurant. It's at 2550 East Colfax Avenue. It's connected to the tattered cover bookstore. You know the one. It used to be The Good Son. The bar rocks. They're open for brunch and dinner, and they have free parking in the back. So if you are in the mood to party, check out The Goods Restaurant on East Colfax Avenue. Tell them the AmeriChick sent you. TheGoodsRestaurant.com.
Desi. Every business needs great branding, an effective website, professional photography, and videos to succeed, thrive, and prosper. Normally, businesses have to find numerous providers to handle all of this work, which raises the cost substantially. Wouldn't it be great if one company could handle all of these services for you? That's where Desi comes in. For one simple, affordable, monthly price, Brandon and his team at Desi will provide the customized services that you need. Desi's values of service, integrity, excellence, fairness, and honesty aligns beautifully with your successful business. Give Desi a call at 303-359-1522 or check out their website at mydesi.com. That is M-Y-D-E-Z-I.com. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Miss American Pie, drove my Chevy to the levee.
Welcome back to the Heart of Matter with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. Good, good song. Good job, Kimmy.
It's Marie.
Love that. And a quick shout out to iDenver Repairs as well, Mike DePape. He helped me out with my phone yesterday and said I was just so ridiculous and so hilarious that he gave me a free charger. So thank you very much. I'm glad. You know, I always counted on the kindness of strangers.
There you go.
So we have John Andrews on the phone. John, I want to ask you kind of your thoughts about the new information that's coming out about Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman, Huma Abedin, and her family's ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. A lot of things are saying that the newspaper that they work with or the newsletter that they have has financial backers that are also financing Al Qaeda, that also financed Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden back in the day during 9/11, and that her family still has those same ties. And I'm curious if you have any information or any thoughts on that.
Well, your listeners are a higher educational background than lots of Americans. They will recognize Alger Hiss, one of the most notorious spies for the Soviet communists of the Cold War era. I want to say that more influence, more harm, potential harm to our country, and really a clearer trail back to her controllers is present for Huma Abedin than we ever saw with Alger Hiss. You're absolutely right, Molly, in what you just sketched. Huma Abedin's parents have been deep in the Muslim Brotherhood all her life. From girlhood, she has been soaked in this atmosphere of the goal to reestablish an Islamic theocratic totalitarian caliphate state and ultimately for America to become a Muslim-dominated country. That's the goal of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's in writing. It's been proved in federal court in the 2008 Holy Land Foundation trial. Abedin and her parents were not named in that trial, but there is all kinds of clear evidence. Her mother has been the editor for a long time of a magazine aimed at helping Muslims in countries where they are only a small minority to hold together and increasingly leverage their influence towards a takeover of that country and encouraging others to come and settle there. The Arab word for that is the Hijra. It means you're going to migrate or indeed colonize into a targeted country. That's the targeting that America is experiencing right now, and Europe is ahead of us on that. Where Europe is going is where we're headed in a few years. Uman Abedin was placed while she was a college student undergrad at Georgetown University, the prestigious university in D.C. In the 90s, Hillary is first lady, Bill Clinton is president. The Saudi government asked Hillary Clinton and Bill to do them a favor to take this outstanding young woman student that they were grooming and give her an internship. They didn't say bring her on as a spy. They didn't say make her Mrs. Clinton, ultimately your closest staffer. But this is now almost 20 years ago, and she has become Hillary Clinton's closest staffer. And now her name is in the headlines around the email scandal, but there's, I think, an even worse scandal for those paying attention, and I'm glad that you and Kim are paying attention. There's an even worse scandal in the control that I believe is still exerted over her by Saudi government officials and or Muslim Brotherhood conspirators that want to make America an Islamic country.
Mm. You know, John, I was talking to a woman that I know who was talking to a woman. It was actually a sister of one of her clients. And the woman apparently had worked in Saudi Arabia for over 30 years and has just recently come back to America. And apparently in Saudi Arabia, and my point that I'm going to get to on this is they do not honor women. And she said that it's not uncommon that, a man have several wives, and that if in fact a wife doesn't please the husband, that many of these houses actually had a cinder block kind of chimney thing that the woman was put up there, and many times she starved. And I'm like, I can't believe that. But I think it is very true. And it's astounding to me that, you know, the radical feminists in America, are actually for, a candidate that is supported by the Saudis. I mean, Molly's actually been on this long before I was. I didn't quite understand it because it just didn't make sense to me. But unfortunately, I think it's true.
I'm afraid it is true, Kim, and the only explanation I can see for this strange so-called red-green alliance, red for the Marxists of the left and green for the theme color of militant Islam, is that what they have in common is a profound hatred of Western civilization, our Judeo-Christian moral and spiritual heritage, our institutions of government by the consent of the governed. In the case of the Muslims, they believe all government must come from Allah through the Quran as interpreted by their clergy, who are also their lawyers. In the case of the progressive Marxist left, the consent of the governed is objectionable to them because they believe there is a small anointed elite, the so-called vanguard of the proletariat in Marxist terms, that knows best for all the rest of us. And they use words like democracy only as a hollow mockery of right. What we mean, true consent of the governed.
Right, right. Hey, John, we're coming up on, you said that you had about 30 minutes, and we're coming up on this 30 minutes. It's gone way too quickly, but you're doing some really exciting things. You've got a great book out, and so how can people get more information? Because you are so knowledgeable, and you're doing such great work. So how can people reach you?
I hope Heart of the Matter listeners will look up backboneamerica.net. My theme is backbone. It means not just the Rocky Mountain spine of our continent that we see in the western horizon every morning, but it means the spine that I hope we all have as constitutionalists and men and women of character. Backboneamerica.net. My books are there. My daily blog is there. And I hope listeners would get acquainted with backboneamerica.net.
Well, John Andrews, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you as a guest on Heart of the Matter, and thank you for all that you do. And just one quick question. Where did you ever get your sense of humor? Did you just always have that?
Well, I was a nerdy A student in school, and somewhere along the line, I realized that one way of relating to everybody was to find what we could laugh about together. I tend to take life really too seriously, and so I try to compensate for that by just seeing what's the funny aspect in anything. Thanks for asking. And but nothing funny about what America faces, the momentous decision we have to make on November 8th. And let's elect not only Trump and Pence to the White House, but let's elect Stockham to Congress and Glenn to the U.S. Senate.
Well said, John Andrews.
You're here.
Definitely. So thank you so much,
thanks,
John. We really
love
appreciate it.
Fun to be with you.
Thank you.
It's our
thanks.
Honor.
Yeah, and you know, one way to elect the right people is we've got to show up. You know, we had the great opportunity.
I was going to say that.
Sure you were. You're the nerd just like John. I know, but you know, that's where you get your humor. The nerdy a student. Anyway, but you know, we saw Newt Gingrich yesterday and had the great opportunity. And one of the questions posed to him was, with all of this voter fraud that we know is coming out, Project mm-hmm. Veritas has confirmed it, WikiLeaks has confirmed it, you know, DNC has said it themselves. We know there's so much voter fraud. How do we make sure that we still elect the right person? And that is absolutely every single person that is legally allowed to vote, that is alive, needs to get out and vote.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, it's actually quite the answer to your question is very simple. We just have to all show up.
Right.
If all of us show up, we win. Even we can overcome voter fraud and all these things, because even though they have voter fraud, it's not massive. It is there and it's serious, but it's not massive. There's enough. If enough Christians show up, we win. If enough conservative Republicans show up, we win. If enough military show up, we win. You know, all these different groups. If enough of those people in all those different areas show up, we win. Even through all the voter fraud and all those things.
What do you say, Casper, to people that say, "Well, my vote doesn't even matter"?
Vote matters tremendously this time. They say that. Every election, they always say, this election is the most important, right? They said that back in 2012 when I first kind of got reintroduced to politics. And they're right. Every election is extremely important. So we all need to show up. We all need to cast our vote. And then, again, you know, like I said, those votes, even though it's just one vote, you add that up into millions and it swings elections. Most elections are not won, you know, they're won by a small margin. Even a presidential election, it's a small margin to where any of the, if a Christian group or a military group, any of those groups show up, they would swing the election.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? We all have so many different friends on Facebook that we are connected to in different groups we can go on. I say go on there and tell your friend, hey, I just voted, did you? And don't mail it in anymore. It's too late. And go in there and drop it off or go do it in person or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what? If anybody's already voted and they voted the wrong way and all of a sudden now you're finding out all this information's coming out about Clinton and say, I've got voter remorse. I've got to get that back. You can possibly do that. If you're in Colorado, go on the Secretary of State's website and you've got your little tag from your mail-in ballot and track your ballot. And if it's not there yet, run, don't walk, and go vote in person. Because if you do that, then when the mailer comes in, it's
null and void,
thrown away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can still vote for the right person.
Yeah, and speaking about voting, there's an interesting thing happening in Vermont and New Hampshire. There's a Bernie Sanders write-in movement. And this is going to be very interesting because he has a large following in Vermont and New Hampshire and is starting here in Colorado as well. Well, he won Colorado, so there's a lot of people that are upset that he didn't win, so they're planning on writing his name in. And normally, you know, it's not a big deal. Somebody writes in Mickey Mouse or whatever, but this is Bernie Sanders. He has a large following in Vermont and New Hampshire, and he's telling people, please, please do not write me in. And they're like, whatever, dude. We're writing you in. And that could, I mean, he could win. Bernie Sanders as a write-in could win Vermont and New Hampshire, and that would upset things quite a bit. And I'm not quite sure what the ramifications of that are, but it could be huge.
Well, and you know, I got something from a millennial yesterday that said that there's some website out there that's trying to trade votes, and they're saying that you know, vote for our vote for Hillary Clinton in this particular state, and then we will have our unaffiliateds or our third party vote for whoever, you know, that you want in over here. So they're trying to trade votes for support of Hillary Clinton, and I just don't think that's going to fly.
No.
Yeah. So.
Not good.
Sounds like pigs are flying. Sometimes you hear something in the background.
Yeah,
there's a party going on.
Yeah, something's going on. I thought John said something really, really interesting, and that was to the point that the floodwaters are going over the banks. Molly, you had posted a couple of different things on, I think it was CNN and MSNBC, where even those hosts are saying, whoa, yeah, what is going on here? And that's why I think Hillary really wants people to vote early. And, you know, because I think they're very nervous about what else is going to be coming down the pipe on this.
Yeah, what was her name? Mika? Mika was almost turning on Hillary and saying, hey, you know, this is beyond...
okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. This is beyond okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just a simple, like, one-time moral judgment that went bad. It's not one little thing.
That surprised me because we knew. We all knew what was going on. We couldn't necessarily put our finger on it or prove it.
Yeah.
But we knew everything that's coming out right now. It's not a surprise to any of us. We've been paying attention. We know that they're corrupt beyond measure. But it was funny to hear Mika surprised. She said, oh, my God, I can't. Really? Yeah, really?
Yeah.
We've been saying this for years.
Yeah. Well, that's
just the mutiny inside the FBI. Just, you know, these government groups have all been protecting this immorality that's been taking place with the Clinton Foundation. And all of a sudden they said, we're not going to take it anymore.
Right.
This is too dangerous for us. So if our government's not going to allow that to happen, thank God, and God be with us.
Well, Thomas Jefferson, 1799, realized how important it was to have an honest press. He said, our citizens may be deceived for a while and have been deceived, but as long as the presses can be protected, we may trust to them for light. And when he says protected, he means an honest press that is telling you know, the full story. And as we like to do here, Molly, we like to look at issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Now, when we come back, another amazing hour regarding the election.
Yep, we'd love to hear from you, so stay tuned.
Hey, welcome to Heart of the Matter with the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. I'm Kim.
You almost said Molly.
We've got Marie on the boards there. Yes. Thanks, Marie. You're doing a great job.
Yeah,
great to have you. Molly, this is the last show before the election.
Ugh. Good. Good.
Yeah, but we are excited. I mean, what a great first hour.
So yeah, it was a great first hour.
That'll be replayed tonight, 6 to 7, and then that's always archived on our website. But as, you know, we look at these issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left.
Right.
And the other things we do on our show is we bring forward these important issues that should be on that busy person's radar to be a trusted source, to know that we are looking at these things to the very best of our ability. And then lastly, human interest stories, whether or not it's how public policy is affecting people's lives or exceptional endeavors or our World War II project. And next week, we're going to have a really awesome World War II story. We're not going to do that this week just because this is election week.
Yeah.
So with that, how can people reach us?
303-477-5600. Nothing like putting me on the spot.
I thought you'd know that.
And we're theamerichicks.com or americhicks@gmail.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And regarding that Veterans Day thing, so, you know, Veterans Day next week is actually on Friday, but we are going to have a special veterans event on Thursday because we know our veterans have a lot of people that want to honor them. So next Thursday night, if you're available, come by CADA, the Colorado Automobile Dealers Association, 6 to 8 p.m. It's $50 to get in. We're going to have several World War II vets there to tell their personal stories. And it's just a great opportunity to really honor them. You know, we went to Normandy and we got to see that there actually is a place in the world where the American flag is flown freely. And they honor American veterans. And they tell the truth about America's role in the war and how great America really is. And we think if we taught that same thing here, maybe people wouldn't be on their knee instead of standing up during the national anthem.
Good point.
So come on by and honor your fans. Yes.
Good point. So that will be next Thursday, yep, and we'll get more information out about that. Now, in studio, we're going to do several things. We're going to talk about candidates here in Colorado. We're going to talk about the ballot amendments and propositions, as well as judges. And you may want to if you're near your computer, go to our website, americhicks.com, because we have done an analysis on all of these amendments and propositions, as well as a number of the judges. And so hopefully that will be a good resource as people are starting to cast their ballots. But in studio, we have Casper Stockham.
I'm here.
He's here, and he is an entrepreneur, and he is also running for Congressional District 1. So yes. Welcome.
Thanks.
Great to have you here.
Yes, it's good to be here.
We also have Helen Morgan in studio. And Helen, you are running for Denver District DA, right?
That's correct. It's great to be back. Thank you, ladies.
Good to have you here. And Tyler Sandberg, it's great to have you here, too, because you're going to be talking about minimum wage. Well, on the surface, this may seem like it's a compassionate thing to do. But when we've unpacked it, it's actually cruel.
Absolutely. It's got a lot of unintended consequences. They're going to harm the very same people it's supposed to help. So people have to think through public policy. It's not just something you feel. It's something that has real life impacts on millions of people's lives.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about that as well. So welcome to all of you. And then I think that we will have one other guest as well. So at this point, we have Gary. You know what? Gary's on the line. He wants to comment about the race. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've called two or three different radio talk shows, and an interesting phenomenon. I voted for Hillary Clinton, and inevitably for all three of them, either the next call that comes up or the second to the next call that they take, inevitably they say, that guy Gary's an idiot.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good foreshadowing. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, it's just interesting that followers of Trump who has an unfiltered mouth seem to also have an unfiltered mouth. You rarely hear someone call and express their that they're voting for Trump, and then someone comes on and says that person's an idiot, because I think people who are voted for Clinton are a little bit less, filter what they say a little bit more closely.
So why did you vote for Hillary? Why did you vote for Hillary?
Well, here's the way I see it. I don't like either of them, but I think Hillary, despite all her flaws, would be less dangerous than Trump. Trump is just, there's too much uncertainty, and frankly, and I'm going to tell you exactly why I voted for Hillary.
Please do.
And I do it for completely selfish reasons. My only concern, I don't care about the Supreme Court. I don't care about, let me just tell you why. I think electing Clinton would have a less negative effect on the stock market.
Okay, Gary, thank you so much for your comments. Your first point, And I know that there are people out there that when they disagree with somebody, you know, on a political stance, that they may do some name calling. And my experience is that actually this has happened on both sides of the aisle. I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen to you. As far as, you know, would I call you an idiot? I would not, because I feel that you are a fellow human being, and I think you're treasured and valued and precious. And so, you know, we may look at these things differently. So I would not do that. I will tell you that I have had some experience, and that is, and then I think, some other people have as well, but I ended up, last election day, presidential election day, I was doing some sign waving at I-25 and Evans. And I was surprised. I mean, there were certainly people that gave us a thumbs up. We were doing sign waving for Romney. But there were a number of people that went by and gave us the one finger salute. And I was just a little shocked, because that is not something that I would do. And, you know, I think that there there's justice out there, because one guy, as he went by, you know, very vehemently gave us the one finger salute. And then the next thing I heard is him running into the car in front of him, which then meant that traffic was held up for, you know, hours and hours during rush hour, just because this guy thought that he needed to flip us off. I will also tell you that I have Trump signs in my yard, and I have lost three of those. And in fact, I came home last week, and somebody had actually tried to kick the sign in. And I'm just kind of like, huh, that's interesting. I mean, we can look at things differently, but you don't have to, you know, kick the Trump's Pence sign in my yard. And then we had another friend
set it on fire. Yeah, Judy Chase's sign was set on fire. Her backyard was on fire.
Just on the street from here.
I saw that. I didn't know that we knew who that was.
Yeah, Judy Chase.
Yeah, and then there was one other thing. And then, Gary, I'd like to have you give a quick comment on that. And then, you know, since you've already cast your ballot, I can't work to change your mind, because, you know, the stock market, I will just make a comment on that. The stock market, I think, is at an all-time high because I think of arbitrary reasons. The fact that the Fed has kept interest rates so low, it's like, where is capital going to go? And so once interest rates start to go up, you're going to start to see money come out of the stock market, which is obviously going to make that go down. Now, the other part that I think is just really a tragedy, and that is those that think that, you know, keeping the stock market arbitrarily high, you know, and not worrying about the $20 trillion in debt, they don't realize that maybe they have their nest egg right now. But when interest rates go up significantly, inflation starts to go up significantly, that nest egg is going to be worth less. And it's a way that the government steals money from the individual. So just very quickly, what would your comment be about the experiences that I've had with people flipping people off, stealing signs? You know, so what would your comment be to me on that?
I'd say I believe you, and I was just sharing my experience, and I respect and believe your experience. But on the stock market, I understand that once the Fed stops easing and interest rates start to rise over time, you're going to want to rebalance your portfolio to move gradually from stocks to bonds to protect yourself. But all you have to do is pick up any newspaper. I've been reading the USA Today every day. I read the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Denver Post, and Washington Post every day. And all of them have expressed that there would be a significant disruption if Trump was elected, and so that would be on top of the Fed easing. Fed easing would take place over time, but Trump could have a devastating, sudden impact on the market.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing about that, and Gary, thank you so much for your call, is that many of those sources are very left leaning on their approach. So I think it's scare tactics, but I think it's very possible. I think the stock market is going to have a correction, but I don't think it's going to be because of a Trump election. So with that, Tyler.
I just have to wonder how the stock market will react to a president under indictment for pay to play with foreign countries, as the FBI has leaked recently, as of this morning, that there's a potential indictment coming down for pay to play allegations coming out of the Clinton Foundation, where foreign governments that are state sponsors of terror have been paying money to the Clintons privately and through the foundation. So if an indictment comes down, that's not going to do a lot of great things to the stock market.
Right. And to that point, Tyler, the market likes to have something that's predictable. And so if that comes down, I think we really could see something going on. We have another caller. Jim, what's your thoughts? Jim, is Jim there? Okay. Hold on. Maria is looking frantically. So, okay. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing? What's your comments?
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Boy, that last guy, Gary, what a moron.
Absolutely. Huh? Do not say that. He said the next caller was going to call a name. Now.
Just misguided. Not a moron.
So, now we're going to have the homosexuals in pink tutus going door to door confiscating firearms. You know that?
Oh, Jim.
All right. Any comments? Any comments on the race?
We want to talk about issues. So, what do you want to talk about on issues?
I think one way or the other, things are probably going to be all right because of the great printing press in the sky that both parties are relying on. So, no thanks to Gary, though.
Okay, when you're talking about printing money, I imagine. So, hey, Jim, thanks so much for your call. And we're going to jump right in now. I'd like to talk a little bit about candidates. So, first of all, let's start with you, Casper. So, you are running for Congressional District 1.
I am.
And how's that going?
I think it's going extremely well. You know, I'm a quote-unquote underdog in this race, but...
Oh, the Cubbies won last night.
There you go. So if they can win, I can win too. I'm running against a 20-year incumbent. She's been in there for 20 years. She's done absolutely nothing for the black and brown community. She's done everything for her special interests and for big money, big pharmaceuticals, you name it. So to me, she's extremely vulnerable. And the community, the people I talk to on the ground, the people I talk to when I'm driving for Uber and Lyft, they know that she has been absolutely worthless helping them in the community. So 90% of people I talk to like what I have to say, and I believe I'm going to do extremely well. In fact, I'm predicting a 60-40 win in my favor.
Well, Casper, you are exactly who the founders had in mind when we talk about citizen legislators. I mean, you work very hard. You are a husband, a father, and you have a great love for this country, and you are a veteran.
I'm a veteran as well, 14 and a half years as a veteran, and, you know, handling classified information, there's no way that I would be talking to you right now if I mishandled one piece of classified information. Mm-hmm. So what's happening right now with Hillary is just, it's beyond me to even see that happening, knowing what should be happening to her is, you know, it's a shame. It's a travesty.
You know, and that's a great segue to our next guest as well. Helen Morgan is here, and she is running for Denver District DA. And as we're seeing what's going on with the Justice Department, we realize it's important, as she's an independent, that instead of having a political, a lifelong politician, let's just put it that way, as your district attorney, really politicizes that whole component of justice. So the idea that we could have someone that is not a political insider is refreshing to me. So Helen, welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you for that comment. You know, when you said earlier that today that what you want to talk about is not left and right, but right and wrong. And that's really what I've been running on since I announced my candidacy back in 2015 in September. I'm a 22-year veteran of the Denver DA's office. I have handled, because I did CORA myself, over 9,000 cases since being in the DA's office. I've made change, and I want to make more change. But the way that you do it is not by making empty political promises. The way that you do it is by the collaboration and the relationships that you build with people over a career. And so that's what I'm really excited to do. To Casper's comment, you know, we've knocked on over 6,000 doors this summer. And I won't have to tell any of your listeners that it's been an extremely warm summer. And so I am on campaign t-shirt number 3 as well as sneakers number 3. But it's been very refreshing to talk to people about their concerns about Denver. We have a phenomenal city, but that doesn't mean that we are not prone to crime. That doesn't mean that we don't have issues that everybody worries about keeping their families safe, and about everybody having an equal opportunity to succeed. So I'm really looking forward to leading Denver into a new place in the criminal justice system, supported by all the great people I've met this summer.
Well, and campaigning is hard work, I respect both of you immensely for your hard work on that, and you're not the only candidates that have been out there. Daryl Glenn, who is running against Michael Bennett, is, I think, a very refreshing candidate. I actually heard him speak at the state convention, and his solid understanding of America and, you know, just the importance of the everyday person being able to go after their hopes and dreams, I thought was refreshing. And so I'm very excited about these candidates that are stepping forward and looking at issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And when we look at right versus wrong, we normally say, is government getting bigger or is government getting smaller? Is the individual getting bigger or is the individual getting smaller? So I really appreciate you guys doing this. So Casper, what would you say is the number one issue that you're running on?
Yeah, so when I talk to folks in the community, I don't talk at the first world level, and I think that's why Democrats win the inner city. They always talk third world issues, and what I mean by that is they talk jobs, veterans, homelessness. They talk about third world issues. Now, I know we don't live in a third world country, but the people in the inner city, that's the mentality that they have. They don't look at it like freedom and liberty, you know, as a— because those are first world challenges.
Interesting. Wow.
Those are first world challenges. So I always go in and I don't talk about R&D. I just talk about jobs, veterans, homelessness, things like that. And it resonates with the community. In fact, I'm trying to get my Republican friends to do the same thing. That's how we win the inner city. We don't win it by talking about freedom and liberty, because most people in the inner city don't believe in that. They don't believe in the Constitution. They don't believe it was written for them. They believe it was written by some old white guys a long time ago, and it doesn't really apply. So I go in and I teach classes about the Constitution. I hand out the Constitution, teaching youth about their rights, I can't think of the word now. I just lost the word, but the power they have as a citizen, you know, their rights as a citizen, their privilege. their privilege of being an American citizen. So that's what I go in and do. I actually have a first 100-day game plan I put in place. And for me, all politics is local. A lot of politicians like to talk about ISIS and all that stuff, and all that's great, but it's not going to win you an election. You got to talk about local stuff. So I'm going to move my congressional office in the community.
What a novel idea.
I've also convinced or persuaded the Denver GOP to move an office presence in the community.
Good idea.
The state GOP to have an office presence in the community. And Daryl Glenn has also agreed to have an office presence in the community. That's four separate GOP entities in the black community. Has never happened before. That should be front page news.
Well, fantastic. Now, we've got a lot more to talk about here. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to Helen about why she's running. And then we had another guest that just snuck in here. And then, Tyler, we've got to talk about forced minimum wage, too. So when we come back, a whole bunch of information.
Thanks to Harmony Ridge Construction, your home doesn't have to be in shambles for the holidays. The experts at Harmony Ridge Construction add the same personal touches you would, but without the time or stress involved in tackling your own renovations. Call Harmony Ridge Construction at 720-660-0265. The owners of Harmony Ridge Construction have over 45 combined years of experience building and renovating homes around the globe. Whether you're building a new custom home or remodeling your kitchen, basement, or bathroom, Harmony Ridge Construction will take your project to the next level. With Harmony Ridge Construction, you can have the home you want without the process you dread. Call Harmony Ridge Construction today at 720-660-0265.
Hey, this is Molly with the AmeriChicks. I'm excited to tell you one of the coolest cats I know and long-term buddies of mine, Mark Whistler and Seth Murdy, who has 21 years experience as a chef and GM, are just opening a new restaurant bar in Denver. Check out The Goods Restaurant. It's at 2550 East Colfax Avenue. It's connected to the tattered cover bookstore. You know the one. It used to be The Good Son. The bar rocks. They're open for brunch and dinner, and they have free parking in the back. So if you are in the mood to party, check out The Goods Restaurant on East Colfax Avenue. Tell them the AmeriChick sent you. TheGoodsRestaurant.com.
Desi. Every business needs great branding, an effective website, professional photography, and videos to succeed, thrive, and prosper. Normally, businesses have to find numerous providers to handle all of this work, which raises the cost substantially. Wouldn't it be great if one company could handle all of these services for you? That's where Desi comes in. For one simple, affordable, monthly price, Brandon and his team at Desi will provide the customized services that you need. Desi's values of service, integrity, excellence, fairness, and honesty aligns beautifully with your successful business. Give Desi a call at 303-359-1522 or check out their website at mydesi.com. That is mydezi.com. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Success, excellence, prosperity. Predivision Company will help you succeed, excel, and prosper. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, use Predivich & Company for their accounting needs. Predivich & Company is one of the premier accounting firms in the Denver metro area. The trusted team at Predivich & Company assists individuals, businesses, and nonprofits with all accounting, bookkeeping, and tax preparation needs. Year-end will be here before we know it. Therefore, now is the time to make sure that you are prepared. Give Predivich & Company a call at 303-791-3000. Or check out their website at dpredovich.com. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you. I
see trees. Welcome back to the Heart of the Matter with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. This is our last show before the election. It's kind of crazy that it's gone this fast, but then again, it kind of seems like it's been forever. So, we are talking to a few local candidates about the offices they're running for, what issues they care the most about. And before we get back to that, let's get a call. We have a caller, Rafe, on the phone. Hey, Rafe, what's on your mind?
Molly, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. You guys are having a great show today. And there's a couple things that you mentioned that made me call in today. One was how the bureaucrats work with the elected officials and how that plays in Hillary's favor in this case. They're after early voting. I want you to vote now and hoping they can run out the clock.
Right.
I'm currently working in Parker, and there's a road project that's being done on Lincoln and Peoria, right around that vicinity. And there is a road sign, you know, one of those mobile ones that have flashing messages. And on Tuesday, I noticed the message said, vote today or vote now. Vote now.
Wow. Good point. Because
a little bizarre for the road message.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the taxpayers are paying for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, yeah. Rafe.
Wow. Vote now before anybody else can read any more of the WikiLeaks truth that's coming out about Hillary Clinton and the rest of the DNC.
That was in the very bottom of that sign.
Right. Yeah.
Turn around. Vote now.
Vote now. Turn off the internet. Turn off the TV. Don't listen to anything. Don't read any newspapers. Just vote, 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 vote. Right.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Thanks.
Did you have another thought, or was that it?
No, that's it. I just had to share that.
Hey, thanks for letting us know.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, you know what? If you've got voter's remorse and you already mailed in your ballot, but you're here in Colorado, you can go online and find out. And if they did not accept your ballot yet, if it's not registered yet, run down and vote in person. And then when the mail-in comes in, it just doesn't even count. So if you've got voter's remorse, you do have an option, but yeah. Do it quickly.
Yep, definitely.
Okay. So let's get to Helen Morgan. So you're running for Denver District Attorney. Thank you for doing so. And you are an independent. And so tell us what is it that you're going to do differently than your opponent?
Thank you very much. Well, you can find out what I'm going to do by going to my website. I have a 90-day plan. I took 10 days off Casper's plan. My plan is at my website, HelenMorganForDA.com. I'd love people to go in there and take a look at the specific goals that I have around community, transparency, and public safety. I often say you can tell what someone's going to do what they've been doing. I've done a lot this year, and that's also detailed on my website.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of that, you can tell what somebody's going to do by what they've been doing. Yeah. And that is why, to Rafe's point, that the Democrats or the far left wants you to cast your vote as soon as possible because there's more stuff coming down. So,
yeah. Vote before you do your research. We're saying do your research before you vote. So thank you, Helen Morgan, for actually putting your plan out online and Casper as well so that people can see what you're going to do.
Yeah, definitely. Oh.
And if I can, there was just one more thing I wanted to add. If I know people have very little time. So if you want one quick point of comparison, and there is a comparison piece on my website. My opponent was last in a criminal courtroom in 1983. That means that a lot of our young deputies who have just been hired weren't born when she was last practicing criminal law. I think that's an important distinction that people may also find persuasive.
That is very important. Very important. So, hey, and during break, Scout Innes was able to sneak in here. And she's a young gal. We met her when she was still in college, and she was doing an amazing thesis. But she got out of college, and she's just kind of hit the ground running. And so, Scout, welcome. So you're up in Boulder County, is that right?
Yeah, I'm up in Boulder County, and I'm actually managing a campaign up there. It's Paul Danish for Boulder County Commissioner. He is a Republican, so, you know, it's definitely an uphill climb. But Paul Danish is a unique candidate in that he was a Democrat for most of his life. He was on the Boulder City Council in the 1970s and 80s. And he became famous then for his Danish plan that a lot of people know it's a Danish plan. And it was the first growth ordinance in the state of Colorado, which limited the growth of Boulder County, you know, to about, I think, 2% per year. Okay. And it worked. You know, we haven't been overrun with urban sprawl in Boulder County because of Paul Danish. And he actually voted to buy over 150,000 acres of open space to hold back the urban sprawl. So he is known for that. And then he was Boulder County Commissioner in the 1990s for about 10 years. And he, you know, is a living legend. He was actually one of the founders of Soldier of Fortune magazine, been an NRA member.
Wow.
Even when he was a Democrat.
Wow.
And, you know, in 2008, he became a Republican because he was really sick of the identity politics that the Democratic Party uses, you know, to divide this country.
Yeah.
And he was also sick of the gun grabbing by the Democratic Party and said, oh, gosh, I got to leave. He supported Ben Carson and John McCain. And
Wow. Now
he's running again in Boulder County. And people say, oh, gosh, you have no chance. Well, that's just not true.
Okay.
One of the things that we've gotten traction with is Democrats for Danish, which is actually led by my mom. She's a, you know, she's a liberal, and I'm a conservative. I don't know how that, where I went wrong, but yeah,
that's what she's thinking.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I went to see you, and I grew up in Boulder. I should have become liberal, but I didn't. But yeah, she's leading the group, and we have, you know, over 20 endorsements from leading Democrats in the county, and we're running a great campaign, just talking about the issues, while our incumbent opponent just seems that, you know, she should just be running her campaign by running endorsement ads. Okay. That's the only campaigning that she's doing. You know, but Paul Danish, we're getting a lot of traction. We're feeling very good, and we'll see how it turns out on November 8th.
Yeah, so. And Molly said you'd seen something unique up in Louisville or something.
Yeah, so just for the viewers who don't know, I did an honors thesis on Black Republicans. It was called Black Republicans, a Minority and a Minority.
They don't exist.
Oh, they
yeah,
do,
they
too.
Don't exist.
They do, and one of them sitting right here
right here. Yeah, they're like unicorns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually did interview, you know, Casper Stockham. He's in my thesis. So, yeah, I interviewed Black Republicans in Iowa, Georgia, and Colorado. And, you know, so I've been really interested in that issue for probably over a year now. And when I was at the Louisville parade, something unexpected happened. I saw all these, you know, Black Americans, you know, riding on this big motorcade with this Trump flag. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. No one would have ever thought that would happen. And they're all pro-Trump, and they're part of this, like, Knights Templar group in Denver. And I was like, this is just weird.
It's great. It's a crazy year. It's a crazy, crazy year.
That's really cool. But that fits into the whole everything that we're finding. We talked to the people we brought on, the guy that started Blacks for Bernie, and now he's for Trump because he said, you know what, more of the same isn't going to be good for us, so let's do something different. We had Mason Weaver on, who was a former Black Panther member, and he's coming on saying, absolutely not, we've got to vote for Trump, don't keep voting yourself back onto the plantation. I mean, a lot of different groups are coming out for Trump. What do you think, Casper?
Well, I can tell you for a fact, I happen to know a little bit about racism, and Trump is not a racist. He may be a lot of things. You can put a lot of tags and labels on him, but racist is not one of them. It's a shame, though, that people take it to that level. And it seems like it always mostly comes from the other side. But it happens on both sides, but mostly from the other side, to where they start doing the personal attacks and labeling instead of saying, well, he wouldn't be good because of this, you know, these policies or these ideas or whatever. They always go to the personal attacks. I'm being personal attacked because I support Trump, because I'm voting for Trump, or have voted already for Trump. And they say, how can you do that? He doesn't like Black people. Well, I actually met him, shook his hand. He signed a card for my mom. You know, and there's really no evidence of any type of a racial slant. In fact, there's evidence to the opposite. He has helped out a lot of Black organizations. He's been talked about favorably by Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Jay-Z, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jackson, all of them. So, you know, it's just crazy that now that he's running for president, now he's a racist. But that's where they always go, because they don't have any other way to go. So all we have to do to win this entire race and game is to show up in the Black and brown community, start hanging out, and then they won't be able to say that anymore, and then the game is over.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the Democrats that come after a lot of Black conservatives and say, you know, what are you doing? Yeah. You're absolutely out of your mind. You must be ridiculously stupid to do that. Yeah. They do the same thing to women, because we talked about this earlier today, but Madeleine Albright came out and said that women had a duty to vote for Clinton, and just because, and remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Right.
So they're not only attacking you, I'm apparently going to hell too, because I'm not voting for my own demise.
Right.
And I'm using my brain, and I'm actually voting based on what's going to happen and be best for me and my life and my future and my family and my country and my community and my wallet.
Yeah. I would love to see a woman president, just not that woman.
Absolutely. Hey, I would love to see a woman president.
Can you find another woman?
The last thing in the world I want is for somebody to say, see, we tried it once. Y'all were terrible. We're never doing it again.
Right.
So let's vote the right person.
That's the problem. That's the problem Blacks have now because of Obama.
Yeah.
I would have loved Carrie Fiorina to be our first woman president. She was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's don't let one bad apple spoil the whole bunch, shall we?
You got it. So, hey, this is great convo, you guys. However, we need to change things just a little bit, because I did have a bit of an outline. And so we have Michael Rawley on the phone with us. And Molly and I had done an analysis of all of the ballot amendments and propositions. And people were reaching out to us and saying, well, what about the judges? So we very quickly put something together. Both of those documents are on our website, americhicks.com. And Michael, we're going to have to go through this a little quicker than I thought. So, Michael Rawley, thank you so much, first of all, for the time that you took to research the judges.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it is our honor. And so please go on and look at our analysis. But let's just very quickly run through these that were on the ballot. First of all, Supreme Court Justice William Hood. We recommended no. What was your thoughts?
I agree, no. You know, he was one of the judges that voted to strike down the Douglas County School Choice Program, that to my mind is clearly constitutional. I think that was a mistake uh, for for Douglas County parents, and I would encourage a no vote for him.
Yeah, and we also saw that, and when we are talking about the voucher program, the, what vouchers do is they allow parents to have a choice to send their school, their child to a school that best suits them. It also, you know, is school choice. I think if I was a poor woman in the inner city, I would want to have the choice to be able to get my child out of an underperforming school. And that's why this particular ruling was so important. And then also, he ruled against Masterpiece Bakery, which I think is a freedom of religion and freedom of speech issue, and also Tabor. So on that one. So Judge Karen Ashby, I'm not sure that we agreed on that one. What did you think about her? She's on the Court of Appeals.
She is a little bit mixed. I felt that she did make some good rulings for our gun rights as well as property rights. She like many of our judges, unfortunately, are not willing to defend our Tabor rights. But, you know, preponderance of the evidence, I voted for Judge Ashby.
Okay, we did as well. And Tabor is Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And basically what that says is if politicians and bureaucrats want to raise your taxes, they have to ask the citizen first. Or if they want to keep excess tax money, they have to ask the citizen. And so I think it's really been a great idea. Okay, Judge Michael Berger.
Yeah, Judge Berger is another one not willing to defend our rights on Tabor. He's another one that that ruled against Masterpiece Cake Shop.
Yep.
Not encouraging.
Yep. Okay.
You know, no vote on him.
Same here. Judge Stephen L. Bernard. What did you think of him?
Judge Bernard, he dissented from the rest of the appeals court in ruling against the Douglas County School Choice Program. He also ruled that taxpayer funds could go to Planned Parenthood, even though there is a prohibition for taxpayer funds going for abortion under Colorado Constitution. So I'd encourage a no vote on Judge Bernard.
Okay, us too. Judge Stephanie Dunn.
You know, Stephanie Dunn, I frankly don't have strong feelings about. although she's been around a while, there's not a whole lot of rulings that I feel strongly about. I voted for Judge Dunn.
Yeah, and what we could tell as we looked at things, it seemed that she had a respect for procedural due process, and I like the idea that there was an honoring due process. So, okay, Judge David Furman?
Yeah, Judge Furman, I think, is a good judge. He has defended our Tabor rights in some cases. He has also stood up against sort of unnecessary regulations. So I'd encourage a yes vote on Judge Furman.
Okay. And Judge Robert Hawthorne.
Yeah, Judge Hawthorne is another judge that I support. He has stood up for our gun rights. And I'm thinking of the concealed carry in University of Colorado system. He also stood up for parents in a Jefferson County ruling. And so I encourage a yes vote on Judge Hawthorne.
Okay. And when we talk about that Second Amendment, the CU gun ban, that was really a ruling that allows students to protect themselves. So agreed. That's very important. Judge Jerry Jones.
Second Amendment does not stop at the University of Colorado.
True. Good point. And that is the right for people to protect themselves. Judge Jerry Jones, what do you think there?
Judge Jones ruled for the parents in the Douglas County School Choice Program. And for that reason alone, he's worth a yes vote.
Okay, very good. And then there was one other judge that was in the second judicial district, I think, that you really had an opinion about.
Yeah, Judge Michael Martinez in the second judicial district, which is sort of Denver County, he has combated the Douglas County School Choice Program every step of the way, even after Douglas County has taken the Supreme Court's advice and changed the program to meet the Supreme Court's suggestions, such that it would be legal. Judge Martinez has stopped that program.
Okay.
Seemingly for no good reason. So, if you're in the second or judicial district, I think that he would be worth no vote.
Okay. And then just very quickly, we have two more. Judge Anthony Navarro.
Judge Anthony Navarro, I would vote yes. Here again, he stood up for parents in Jeffco, and I would vote yes on him.
Okay. And we had issued a no on that. And so I think that people really need to look at that. And I have a feeling... I might have just misunderstood that just a little bit. So I think I want to hedge us just a little bit on that one. So thank you on that. And then last, Judge Diana Terry.
Judge Terry, I would vote yes on her. I think that she has been strong on Tabor. Unfortunately, she's a little bit mixed. She did vote that public funds could go to Planned Parenthood for abortion, which I think was wrong. So it's a little bit mixed, but I voted yes on Judge Terry.
Okay, and we were recommending no, I used some of the information that was on Clear the Bench to try to come to a decision on that. As you know, and people are very confused about all these judges, and so we really want this to be a great resource. So, Michael Raleigh, thank you so much for your time and effort, and it's been great having you as a guest here. We're going to go to break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about amendments and propositions and also talk with these fabulous candidates that are here in the office, in the studio with us. Water's Edge Winery is a craft winery located in the heart of Centennial, and they brought Swanky to the suburbs. Currently making more than 30 international varietals at this location, you can watch the winemaker at work and learn all about wine. Pick up some of their top-of-the-line meats and cheeses from Boar's Head for an intimate picnic at your table, or pair your favorite chocolates from the Chocolate Therapist with some of their amazing wine. Bring your girlfriends, bring your book club, celebrate your anniversary, or throw a birthday party in their tasting room. They will make it simple, and you won't have to clean up afterwards. Personalized labels, bottling parties, wine tastings, and even wine ice cream. Water's Edge Winery is located on the northwest corner of Arapahoe University, across from the streets of South Glen at 2101 East Arapahoe Road in Centennial. Call them and book your next night out or drop in for a bottle for dinner. 720-381-6663.
Due to this extraordinary fall weather, the 88 Drive-In is still open every night of the week. This week, the 88 Drive-In is giving you one last taste of Halloween, showing Goosebumps, followed by The Accountant, and finally, Lights Out. If you haven't had a chance to visit the 88 Drive-In at all this season, now is the time. Quick, before the weather changes. Remember, one ticket includes all three features. So come for one, two, or all three movies. Cash payments do speed up the lines, so pay with cash if at all possible. Grab some hot chocolate from the snack bar, and as always, say hello from Molly and Kim. The 88 Drive-In, a true taste of American history, now celebrating its 40th season.
A place to call home. Karen Levine knows your home is one of the most important investments that you'll make. It's the place where memories are created. When you think of buying or selling your home, you need to work with award-winning Karen Levine. With 25 years in the real estate business, Karen Levine is a real pro who can help you navigate this crazy real estate market. She cares about you. She is honest and represents your best interests. If you are considering buying or selling your home, give Karen Levine a call at 303-877-7516 or email her at karenlevine@remax.net and be sure to tell her the Americhick sent you.
Amazing grace.
We could use a little grace right now, Molly.
Yes, yes, and some hope.
Yeah.
Some hope. Welcome back to the Heart of the Matter with the Emeritics, Molly and Kim. This is the last show before the election, so it's kind of a big deal. And, you know, and voting is a very, very important right. I know, you know, especially as a woman, it, I just feel very proud that my great-grandmothers fought so hard to give me the right to vote. And I know that it is my duty to really do my research before I vote. You know, Rafe, we had Rafe call in earlier, said that he's driving down the street and he sees one of those construction signs saying, vote now. I'm like, I don't know. I think don't vote until you've got all of the research available to you. You've still got a few more days, you know, so you feel free to wait until the last day if you need to. Definitely vote, but do your research first. If you go to the Americhicks.com website, you'll see we have done an analysis on all of the local Colorado ballot initiatives as well as the judges so that you can go through that as well. But one of the big ones that we want to talk about is minimum wage. They're talking about increasing the requirement of minimum wage here in Colorado. And this will be added to the Constitution, so it would be very, very hard to change this. And actually, in our Constitution, we already do increase our minimum wage with cost of living increases. So this would just push that even further. So we brought Tyler Sandberg in studio, who's with Keep Colorado Working, and we want to just kind of talk to him and break it down and say, you know, it seems like right from the beginning, yeah, a higher wage for everybody seems great in the short term, but what might be the things that we should consider in the long-term effects of a government-forced increase in minimum wage?
This is not free money. It's coming from small business owners who work 7 days a week. It's coming from rural communities. So the campaign has said it's going to inject new money into the economy. Where? It's not manna from heaven. There's not helicopters dropping bags of $100 bills in these communities, these workers. It's coming out of small businesses, and they can hire less workers. There'll be less jobs available. The Colorado Restaurant Association did a survey, and they're important because 60% of minimum wage workers nationally are in the hospitality and leisure industry. And most of them get tips. So it's kind of a misnomer to call them minimum wage worker. A restaurant worker, a waiter in Denver will make $30, $35 an hour, but they only get minimum wage from their employer. The rest is coming in tips. And so it's really important what's going to happen, because it's not about a projection or a study that's been written by one side or the other. Talking to real business owners who live and breathe their books every day. And 90% they're going to have to raise prices. And that's probably fine in downtown Denver, where wealthy families can afford it. They're already paying high rents. They can afford to eat out. But what happens in Lyman or Walsenburg or Pueblo, places where the economy is weak, it's still living in a recessionary economy, they're going to lose hours, they're going to lose businesses. So 90% said they would raise prices. And as I said, Denver can probably afford it, but small communities can't. So it's going to hurt those businesses. And if they could raise the prices, wouldn't they do that already? They're business owners after all. It's not a charity. It's there to make profit. And if their market could actually afford it, of course they would increase it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. 71% of them said they have to lay off staff. So these are exact same low-wage workers that we're supposed to help. 71% of restaurant owners in Colorado, which employ 300,000 people, said they're going to have to lay off staff. These people are losing their jobs. And that happened in Seattle. In Seattle, 1% of minimum wage workers lost their job. And the average minimum wage worker in Seattle has lost enough hours that they saw no new dollars in their paycheck. They're working less hours now, but they have the exact same pay they did before the minimum wage increase, which not helped them.
You're saying that we have 300,000 people in Colorado right now on minimum wage?
In the restaurant industry.
Oh, okay.
About two-thirds are servers, and they get $5.29 an hour from their employer, but they make another $20, $25, $30 out in tips,
right.
Majority of which they don't actually declare, the IRS says, and so Uncle Sam can't stick their hands in their pocket. But they're actually making great money, but those jobs are going to go away. So jobs that are paying $30 an hour of tips are going to disappear because of a minimum wage hike.
Right,
and 72% of restaurant owners said they're going to have to actually cut hours. And so that's what happened in Seattle. People got more per hour, but there's only so much money in the budget for labor, so their hours got cut, and so their paycheck at the end of the week is no bigger than it was. On average, and 1% of them lost their job. So you actually haven't helped low-wage workers at all. If you want to help them, there are other ways to do it, not forcing small businesses and rural communities to pay the exact same increase as big corporations in Denver.
Yeah.
That's what's so shocking, is it's actually the worst written minimum wage hike in the nation. And that's why almost every single editorial board in Colorado has come out against it. Even the left-wing, practically communist, Aurora Sentinel, they came out for the Amendment 69. I think they're the only newspaper in the state that came out for Amendment 69, but they came out against 70. They said it's not fair. Trinidad and Lyman can't afford the same wage increase as big corporations in Denver and Cherry Creek or Douglas County, wealthier areas, and it's not fair. And that's why liberal, conservative, rural, and urban newspapers across the state have come out against it, because it's a terribly written policy we're putting in our Constitution practically forever.
Yeah. You know, Tyler, both Molly and I have talked about this. My very first job was at Daylight Donut and Chicken Inn, and I really didn't know how to do much of anything, and I probably should have paid them. But it gave me the opportunity to learn, to work with the public. In those days, you actually had to count change, you know, a whole bunch of different things. And it, from there, I mean, it allowed me to continue to move up, you know, to be upwardly mobile, which is the kind of the American dream. So when we take and do a forced minimum wage and shut the door on young people and others that are just entering the workforce, in essence, we're taking away opportunity. It's instead of compassionate, it's actually cruel.
Yeah. When I look at resumes of jobs and people didn't work in college or high school, I'm less likely to hire them. They've never been in a professional environment. And I want to hold their hand for their first job out of college. They should have that experience.
Good point.
Have customer service, have a thick skin, you understand what it's worth to show up on time, work as part of a team. They're really important. And actually, an interesting fact is a third of all American adults get their first job in the restaurant industry. Half of American adults working in it at one point or another, but a third, that's their first job, and it's a great first job.
Yeah. The biggest argument that you get when you talk about minimum wage is they think corporations own all these restaurants and things like that. They hear McDonald's, and they think McDonald's Corporation owns the franchise.
Good point.
And that's not the case. They do own some, but they don't own the majority of the franchises. You know, so the Arby's, the McDonald's, the Wendy's, or whatever, they don't own those franchises. They're owned by small business people who are trying to make a living. And raising raising the minimum wage hurts them the most.
Yeah. Absolutely. 70% of restaurants in Colorado are single location, family-owned operations.
Exactly.
They're the mom-and-pop Mexican restaurants you go to. Mm-hmm. Most of them are not big chains. Right. And so you're going to be hurting small, family-owned operations here. Yeah. You're not hurting big corporations.
No.
So who's going to lose in Amendment 70? It's not the big business. It's the small business.
Right. And if you say somebody's not, and I don't even know what's the dollar amount that they're moving it up to?
To $12, maybe a 44% increase. For restaurants, it'll be a 70% increase.
Yeah. So if somebody's only worth $11, then you're telling them they're not allowed to have a job.
Yeah.
Basically putting everybody else out of work.
That's what Wendy's is doing. Wendy's is installing 6,000 kiosks around the country. So no longer will you order from a person at the counter, you order from a machine. Those are 6,000 jobs that are gone permanently. Tens of thousands of people will no longer have access to that work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fair to low-wage workers. You're literally cutting them out of the marketplace. And if you want to help low-wage workers, going from a minimum wage to no wage is not helping anybody.
Yeah. So if you want to save jobs and you want to grow the economy, vote no to the minimum wage increase in Colorado.
Oh, very good. Tyler, thank you so much. And go to our website, AmeriChicks.com. We have a complete analysis, but there's been one other one that we have had a lot of conversation about, and that is Amendment 71, Molly.
Raising the bar.
Yeah.
On that, the reason I think we need Amendment 71 is because of Amendment 69 and 70. Can you remember the last constitutional amendment that restrained government? Can anyone name the last time one passed? It's been decades.
Hey, Tyler, it's been really nice talking to you, but we totally disagree with you.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, so mute his mic.
Yeah. He can't talk anymore, okay?
Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying. And we have people that, I mean, we really respect that, you know, like you, that are saying this is important because it's difficult to fight back these amendments all the time. So we're going to make the case for voting against 71. How's that? Okay, well, Molly, you want to start? You want me to?
You go ahead.
Okay, Amendment 71 says to raise the bar, and the reasons, and on one hand, it seems like, you know, the Constitution should be a sacred document and that we should make it more difficult to put amendments on. But the thing, Tyler, that I'm really concerned about is that there's a double standard. So to get something new on, it's going to be a 2% of all the registered voters in all of the Senate districts have to sign a petition. Now, the first thing is registered, and that is different from the 5% benchmark that we have currently, which I think the 5% benchmark is voters that cast votes in the last Secretary of State election. So when we're talking registered, we're talking about, you know, CU, CSU. There's kids that they register to vote, they move out. We have all these dead voters that are voting. And so the idea that they use the term registered concerns me.
It's about 2,000 signatures per state Senate district. So quite gettable, because 29 of the 35 state Senate districts are along the I-25 corridor.
But no one's ever gotten 2,000 from all of the districts. Ever.
Raise the Bar campaign did. They had enough in all 35 state Senate districts. They got 76,000 outside the metro area, and it was the first time on the Eastern Plains or even down in the San Luis Valley they'd ever seen a signature gatherer before. Their constitution has been amended again and again for decades, and no one's ever asked their permission to put it on the ballot.
Well, and so let's get to the other point of that is, why are they making it harder to get something on, but not harder to take something off?
Yeah, and that's the other thing that concerns me. So to get something off, it's on this other benchmark. So I guess, you know, if I was going to, I got to think about that. So you're making the case, and I appreciate that. I respect you. So then if that's the case, that's the old benchmark, it's the 5%, and they're not asking everybody.
If you want to take it off, you still have to do 35 state Senate districts. You only need 50% plus one to remove something, but the signature process is the same for removing or adding.
Now, I'm pushing back because I read that several times, and I'm not sure that the way it's written, I think there's room for disagreements. That might end up in the courts.
Yeah, I didn't read that one that way either. I saw that it was just not going to change anything on repealing. And we know that there are certain things that some groups would like to repeal.
Such as Tabor.
Of the 50% plus one, but the signature process becomes changed forever. So they only kept the grandfather rules for how many votes you need to pass it once it's on the ballot. But the signature process will change for any constitutional amendment, amending, adding, or removing.
Okay, and I'm going to push back because when I read it, I didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
And so with that, clearly, I mean, people that can agree on a lot of different things are disagreeing on this. And the last thing, and Tyler, this is what I find of great concern, is let's say that we do at some point in time get a very, well, I want to make one other comment. 100% agreement across all Senate districts, I think, is very difficult to get for the grassroots. Now, a George Soros or a Tom Steyer, they're going to have the money to come in and to get all of these different Senate districts to get those signatures. To your point, there's a lot of money that is behind Pro 71.
I don't think any volunteer operation has ever gotten a constitutional amendment on the ballot that I can remember. Every single time it requires paid canvassers. But it's really tough work. I've done it, and you get yelled at, you get threatened, you're in front of grocery stores. It's really, really hard work.
But the grassroots are paying for a lot of it, like with Tabor.
Yeah, Tabor, Sunshine Laws, and term limits all came out of grassroots. And let's see, I lost my last thought.
Stiers and Soros actually end up putting who they want in control of the House and the Senate and the governorship.
Yeah.
They're actually opposing this. The national unions and environmentalists are the ones opposing this.
So let's just walk through the scenario.
Yeah, just very quickly, because I want all of you to also have something to say on because you're here. But so let's say, because you know they're playing big time in Senate districts. Laura Woods, Kevin Priola, Nancy Doty, they're playing big time. Now let's think about it. If the big lefty money can come in and they can get the governorship, the Senate, and the House, and the grassroots has lost their opportunity to come in and actually be able to amend the Constitution, it's not going to matter because they can pass whatever statute they want. And we, the citizen, I think, are in big trouble. So we're going to have to stop there. Tyler, I'm sorry that I'm not going to let you say anything else because very, very quickly, Casper, 45 seconds. Casper Stockham, CD1.
Yes, so we are doing a fast push to the end. We are not done by any stretch of imagination. We've got a lot of ads we're running on social media. I still need help and support. Please send a check. Do not go online because that takes 10 days to get to the campaign. So send a check if you're going to help. Go to Casper4Colorado. That's the word for F-O-R, Colorado.com. We've got a honking wave this coming up Saturday. Please come out and help us with that as well.
Thank you, Casper Stockham. Helen Morgan.
Thank you. If you live in Denver and you want your chief law enforcement officer to be a prosecutor and not a politician who is supported by law enforcement, ex-judges and criminal defense attorneys alike, please vote Helen Morgan for DA.
Okay. Tyler Sandberg, you're here for Keep Colorado Working.
Yes, tell your friends, family, and neighbors, Amendment 70, think twice, it ain't so nice. There's a lot more hidden beneath the surface.
Okay, and Scout Innes.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird things going on with this election, and it's easy to write off Boulder County as, oh, that's just going to go Democrat. Well, you know, there's a lot of things happening that should make you pay attention, and you should definitely open up the Daily Camera or Times Call on November 9th to see, you know, who won, because I think we're going to see a Republican for the first time in over 30 years in Boulder County.
Okay.
So it's going to be very exciting.
Well, thank you to all of you for being in studio here. And Molly, final thoughts in that thought is vote.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Everybody get out there and vote, and feel free to wait until the last minute because there's so much more information coming out on the national level that we want to make sure you know absolutely 100% the truth behind who you're voting for. And again, if you have questions on the ballot initiatives, go to AmeriChicks.com. We're saying vote no to everything. And the judges, there are a few that we'll keep around, so look at those. Also, Veterans Day is coming up next week. We're excited to be honoring them November 10th at CADA. So join us 6 p.m. Go to our website or our Facebook for information on that. We'd love to see you there.
And going into election, George Washington, 1789, said this, No compact among men can be pronounced or inviolable, and no wall of words, no mound of parchment can be so formed as to stand against the sweeping torrent of boundless ambition on the one side, aided by the sapping current of corrupted minds on the other. Those guys could really write. I can't speak, but man, they could write.
Easy for you to say.
Okay, Casper Stockham, thank you. Helen Morgan, thank you. Tyler Sandberg, thank you. And Scout Innes, thank you so much.
This is the AmeriChicks signing off. Y'all have an awesome week, and we will talk to you next time. And by then, we will know who the next president of the United States is. God help us all.